So I think the shiur tonight is going to hopefully be a very practical one, and one via which people can improve their Rosh Hashanah. It should be a different. The word shana, Chazal tell us, means a change, right? The word shana has within it the concept of shinui, right? So the Maharal in the Gvuras Hashem says that that's because we want each year to be different, one year from the next. We don't want all the years to be the same. And unfortunately, the trick that the Yetzer Hara uses, so to say, what the Yetzer Hara does to us is that he tries to confuse us by saying, hey, you got away with it last year. You got away with it the year before. Nothing happened, right? The rabbi said fire and brimstone is going to come down upon you if you aren't going to change. And, you know, you're 70 years old. You say, nothing happened for 70 years. So therefore, we have to understand that the word shana means shinui, the Maharal says, and that hopefully each year we can say we maybe got lucky last year, but we can't rely upon getting lucky again, and that we have the power and the ability to change things. And I thought I would focus not on the machzor and on the davening itself, but on one concept, arguably the most famous, the most remembered, and the part that everybody can say by heart of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening, and that is tshuva, tefila, utztaka, mavirin es roa hagezera. That we know the famous words that Chazal tell us over here, that by doing tshuva, by doing tefila, by repenting, by davening properly, and by giving tztaka, mavirin es roa hagezera, we can get a new decree. We pass over the decree that was assigned to us, and that b'ezus Hashem, we're going to be able to go and get a better decree. And that's what we say, kira roa gzar dineinu. We want to rip up the bad decree and bring upon ourselves a better decree. That's what we daven for. That's the highlight of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. Certainly one of the most emotional parts of the davening. I dare say that's one of the few parts of the davening that everybody knows the meaning of the words. They're easy words. If you're saying them with any kavani, you can look into English or whatever translation you may have in front of you. If you don't know the words, it's preceded by one of the most emotional parts, the Nesana Tokef. Who's going to die like this? Who's going to die like that? Who's going to live? Very emotional part of the davening. But we have to understand, this is the formula. God has given us the formula to make this year, Rosh Hashanah, better than last year, better than any Rosh Hashanah we've ever had. We just have to follow the formula. You have a chemistry equation. If you want to take product A and combine it with product B and get product C, you got to do it right. You can't just lump everything together and hope it turns out right. So when Chazal tell us over here, we have to know how to go and do that properly. So I thought we'd first focus on the words themselves. So the word staka, we'll start with it, is an unusual word. Staka means righteousness. What's righteousness about me digging my hand into my pocket and giving it to you? Hey, I work for all that money. It's my hard work and effort. How's it righteous that I give it to somebody else? He didn't do anything for it. He's a shlemiel. He's a freeloader. I'm the guy that worked for it. So how is that stalker? It's a funny usage of the words. Stalker, tzedek, righteousness. So I think, I heard this from my rabbeim, saw this in a number of sources, that the critical idea over here is that it ain't your money. And in some ways, of the three, tshuva, tefillah, and stalker, stalker is the easiest one to do. Because everybody can put their hand in their pocket and take out some money and give it to a poor person. Write a check. Today everybody Googles it, or they pay it in an electronic fashion. It's easiest in a way to do that. I did something wrong. I know I did something wrong. I'm going to give tzedakah. Now you can't say I'll do something wrong and then give tzedakah, but giving tzedakah, Hashem says, test me. V'chanuni. Go and test me. And see if giving tzedakah is not a great formula for a person to go and have a better year. So therefore, in some ways, tzedakah is easier. But what does it mean, tzedakah, tzedek? And the answer, as I just said, is that it's not your money. And if we can get that through our mind and understand that anything that we happen to have, we're blessed with, is only because of the favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not giving our money to somebody else. We're giving God's money to exactly where God wants it to go. So we're a caretaker of some sort. If we come to that realization, and that's the understanding of the word tzedakah, it's righteous to do what God wants with his money. It's not that I'm giving it, I'm taking funds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to me and reassigning them, reapportioning them the way God wanted. So that's looking at the word tzedakah. The word tefillah is gematria 515. And incidentally, so bikavonas halev, the Mefarshim point out, with heartfelt kavana, with intention, is also 515. Veschanan, our daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is also 515. So there's a tremendous depth, if you wish, to our tefillah. People say, well, I davened. Well, davening once isn't enough. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times. Chazal tells us he would have been answered on the 516th time. He was told to stop. We sometimes think, well, I really gave a good Shemoneh Esrei. I really did. I'm Yotzei. I did my job. And the answer is no. You got to keep on doing it. Tefillah is a continuous effort. It's not a one-time effort. And we sometimes fall into the trap that we only daven this one tefillah. That's okay. Then the rest of the tefillahs don't have to be that good. And the idea over here is it's not one tefillah, it's all of our tefillahs have to be good. And tshuva, the Mefarshim bring down, is sometimes forgotten. People say, how do you do tshuva? Tefillah tzedakah. But tshuva in and of itself is changing yourself. It's not just davening better, which is part of tshuva. It's not just giving tzedakah, which is part of tshuva. But tshuva in and of itself is a blessing. It's a tremendous bracha that God gave us to do tshuva. So these three fundamental principles over here, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, mavirin es ra'a gzera, by taking a full depth understanding, we just touched upon what they mean a little bit. So that in and of itself is a start. But let's go a step further. In all, yeah.
Did the chachamim mean that all three have to be done? Or could one be done and...
So you need to do effort in everything. You got to be a triple threat, as we say in sports, right? Right. The guy that is the triple crown winner didn't just have a good batting average, didn't just have a lot of home runs. You know, you have to try to do everything. Now, we do the best that we can. You're only going to be compared. What's nice is that every single person in the shul can win the triple crown. Not just one guy, right? Baseball, the triple crown. Only one guy can win the triple crown. The other guys, he's second, he's third, he's 500th. But in shul, in Yiddishkeit, everybody can be the triple crown. Whether God gave you the ability to be a Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu, or whether God gave you Nebuch a lot less talent to start off with. But everybody can reach. It's Shmuel is considered like Moshe and Aaron. Shmuel Kedaro Kiyiftach Bedaro. So everybody has unbelievable potential, but you're only asked to live up to your own potential. Nobody's asked to live up to somebody else's potential. That's what the Medrash tells us when Yaakov Avinu went up and down the ladder. He saw the Malachim going up and down the ladder, so the Malachim couldn't understand. They saw under the Kisei HaKavod, they saw Yaakov's image. He said, wait a second, I just saw him down there. Oh, he's up there, up. So they said, one interpretation is, they saw that Yaakov reached his full appearance. And his appearance, as it should be in Shemayim, was exactly the same as his appearance on this earth. That's one interpretation. And that's what every one of us has to shoot for. So yeah, you can't say, I'm only going to focus on one. Again, an individual can say, well, this is an area that I'm going to try to improve upon, and you might have more success. What I'm going to try to give you tonight is practical etzes, not theory. Till now, it's been a little bit theory. I want you to look at the words in the machzor, when you have a machzor in front of you, there's little words above tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Tzom above tshuva, kol above tefillah, mamon above tzedakah. I know how many of you have noticed, they all have the exact same gematria, all 136. Tzom, 136. Kol, 136. Mamon, 136. Interesting. The gematria of sulam, ladder is 136. So tzom is fasting, kol is davening, yelling out to Hashem, mamun is money, all in add up to 136. Interesting gematria. Sulam, a ladder, is 136. If you want to be successful and rise up in Hashem's eyes, these are methodologies. You don't have to do all three perfectly, to try to do each one as best as you can. And in this way, we can rise. That's what the Sulam represents over here. The 136 represents going up. A person should elevate himself. Again, my Rebbeim always taught me, it's not where you are objectively. It's where you are subjectively that's important. Where were you last year? Where were you this year? Remember, Shachta Shlita saying over, that somebody asked, this must have been 60, 70 years ago, somebody asked the Rav, can he accept a position in a certain shul where the mechitza was a certain height that was not optimal? Rav Shachta Shlita said that the Rav had responded, the Rav Zatzar, Rav Yoshua ben Soloveitchik had responded and said, it depends. Where was the mechitza the year before? So if the mechitza was 56 inches last year and now it's 55, that's not good. It was 45 last year, now it's 55. Whoa, we're going in the right direction. It's perspective. Where was I last year? Where am I now? If I'm moving up the ladder, so then I'm going in the direction that Hashem wants. Somebody may be on a much higher level than I am from an objective point of view, but he's coming down the ladder. Hashem's not as happy with him. Are you, as an individual, personally moving up the ladder? And that's what we all have to try to do. That's what the symbolism over here, with each of them being 136. There's more of a symbolism. They add up to 408. 3 times 136 is 408. What does 408 represent? Zos. Very good. So there's two Zos. I saw two different interpretations. Bizos yavo Aaron el HaKodesh. You want to go to Kodesh, you want to go to the Kodesh Kodashim, you want to be Aaron HaKohen on Yom Kippur, entering into the Holy of Holies where nobody else can go, you got to come in with this package, bezos. You got to come in with efforts of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. Others suggest from the Ledovid, Hashem Ori V'yishi, bezos ani boteach. With this, if you do an honest effort to improve your tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, you will be successful in Ma'avir and Esra Gezerah. All you have to do is make an honest effort. So what I'd like to talk about tonight is potential from the poskim, different honest efforts. Just right before that, two other ideas that I want to bring down. Some suggest that those mnemonics, tzom, kol, and mamon, above the words of tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, they represent a mnemonic, a nutricon, a abbreviation, or letters like, the FBI, stands for Federal Bureau of Investigation. So the word tzom, they suggest, is tztaka v'shinoi maisa. You want to go and be successful, you got to change. That's, again, make this year different, this shana different, you have to change. It won't change by itself. So you have to give tztaka, that can always help. Stalker tatsu mimavis. That's a paradigm we have. But you have to have a shinui maisa as well. You have to change. Kol, that's kedusha v'tar libeinu. You have to try to be more spiritual. Every one of us has to attempt to be more spiritual. We sometimes get, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But we don't do it with a heart. We don't do it with an understanding of what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or, I'm just doing this because that's what I'm expected to do. So we have to be more spiritual. And mamon is not only yourself taking your own money, it's motzi mechaveiro, the gam nosei, to help other people. You just give yourself, it's only half the battle. You also have to help other people to give, other people to improve, other people to do better. And Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Lord Sachs, so he suggests another idea. He suggests that tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah represent three relationships. So we coined this in different ways. He doesn't use this language, but we have Bein Adam Li Atzmo. He says that's tshuva. That's between you and God. But that's you. That's up to you. God's not really involved in that. That's your relationship. Bein Adam Li Atzmo. Tvila, that's Bein Adam Lamako. Staka, that's Bein Adam Lechaveiro. And this trying to improve yourself in all three of these categories, again, is an effort. But you can't try to just do one. You should try to, as best as you can, be the complete person. And now let's give practical examples. I'm not going in any particular order, so I'm just going to hit upon what I think are practical suggestions. Some of them I saw in various svarim, some of them I saw brought down various individuals, and others are my own thoughts. Again, you don't have to do any of them. Come up with your own. But everybody has to come up with something. That's the trick. If you just wait to read these words on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur and you don't try to put them into effect, you're not going to be successful. When we say the Yud Gimel Midos, so all the Mefarshim tell us, just saying them is not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when you say the Yud Gimel Midos and you do the Yud Gimel Midos, if you emulate, you act upon them, Yasu Lufanai, if you do them, that makes a difference. So you have to do something. It's not enough to just give lip service. And what you do is up to you and God. But every person has to figure out what they want to do to make this year a better year. So I'll give you some suggestions. The Sefer Nitei Gavriel, a very, very, very wonderful halachic work by Rabbi Zinner, who lives in Borough Park, a contemporary Gadol. He's written on numerous subjects. So he brings down over here from the Magid Mimezrish, holy individual from the previous generations, right? The Magid Mimezrish, HaKadosh, says something very, very practical. I love this because I've always thought this myself. I was so happy I was mechaving to this. We tend to not take certain parts of the davening seriously. We come late to shul, I can skip that. So the section in Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to skip that if you come late. So some people do that l'chatchila every single day of their lives. So the Magid Mimezrish brings down, especially on Rosh Hashanah, say Pazuka de Zimra and the Karbonos in davening. It's not such an impossible thing for a person to do. Make a commitment. Shul starts here, all the minyanim start 8 o'clock. I'm not going to come 8:10. I'm not going to come 8:05. I'm not going to come 9:05. 10:05, that's for sure. But even, you know, normally 8:05 is not bad for an 8 o'clock minyan, a person might say. I got there before the first Kaddish. I even said, brachos, one or two other. The Magid Mimezrish says, on Rosh Hashanah, pay special attention to saying Karbonos and saying Pesuka de Zimra. And he says, why is this so? What's so special? He says, everybody concentrates on Shemoneh Esrei. And he says, I'm not telling you not to. That's the ikar of davening. But Shemoneh Esrei is a beautiful analogy, a beautiful parable. He says, Shemoneh Esrei, he said, deep inside the holiest of chambers of the Lord our God. How'd you get there? Who gave you the keys to get inside to the innermost chambers? Pesuka de Zimra and Karbonos. That's how you get in. Otherwise, you're not inside. You're not speaking, so to say, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal set up the davening that you can come into the holiest of holies and say your Shemoneh Esrei. We take 3 steps forward because we're moving into the innermost chambers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're doing that because we said Pesuka de Zimra and the Karbonos. Without that, you don't have the right to come in. And he says, on Rosh Hashanah especially, there are tremendous prosecuting angels out there. There's extra guards at the palace doors. They don't let you in. Who are you? He says, when you got the creation of all the malochim, the Karbonos and the Pesuka de Zimra, they destroy all those prosecuting attorneys. Now you go in and say your Shemoneh Esrei to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now you can daven your Shemoneh Esrei, which is the ikar part of the davening. He's not minimizing the Shemoneh Esrei. He's maximizing the other parts of the davening. Beautiful idea. Brings down a similar idea that David HaMelech is referred to as the Batchon, B'dichasa de Malka. So where does that work? So he says, he gives a nice marshal also. He says, the people in the town were told that the king's very upset with them. And boy, oh boy, they're going to have to account for everything that they've done against the king and everything they've done wrong. And on such and such a day, the king is coming. You're going to get what you deserve at that point in time. People in the town are terrified. What should we do? They all gather together, come up with a plan, an eight, so what should we do? So you know what? They say, let's hire somebody to make the king happy, to give the king a good laugh, to put the king in a good mood. So they hire a batchin, they hire a guy to put the king in a good mood. He goes to the king, starts telling him stories, he makes him laugh, he takes away a little bit of his anger, takes a little bit more of his anger, and then the people can come in and see the king and say, okay, I forgive you. He says, that's what Pesukei DeZimra and the Karbanos do. They sort of say, put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a good mood. You come in there and say, I want to do tshuva. I want this, I want that. I need this, I need this. Who are you? I'm angry at you. Oh, you said Pesukei DeZimra, you said Karbanos. All of a sudden, it's a different approach. An unbelievable Nitei Gavriel. I highly recommend people see it inside. It's in his introduction. He adds on another idea in regards to tshuva. He says that one of the aspects of tshuva, or one of the aspects that we rely upon on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is zuchus avos. How many times in the davening we say b'zuchus avos, b'zuchus avos, Avim Yitzchak Yaakov, right? We mention that numerous times in the davening. He says, what gives us the right to go and mention the zuchus avos? And he points out further, very, very timely and appropriate. The Nitei Gavriel lives in our time. He's a contemporary gadol in Borough Park. He says, nowadays, how many people, Nebuch, still have parents, grandparents that lived through the Holocaust? And Nebuch, how many, 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 many more have those relatives that died in the Holocaust? Today, after already years after the Nitei Gavriel wrote this, so Nebuch, how many more people who went through the Holocaust have never passed away because of old age, Baruch Hashem, and not from the Holocaust? Although many of them still suffered from the Holocaust, that's why they passed away, with various diseases and problems. He says, you're also davening in the Izzachos. He says, that's what it means that the Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim are pasuach lefoneh. He said, they're davening as well. He says, what gives you the right to call upon Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and David, all the Kedoshim from the Holocaust? What gives you the right to say in the Zchus of Avos, I want to be saved? Sacrilegious. She says, no, it's not sacrilegious. He says, it's absolutely appropriate as long as you say, I want to be like them. I want to try to be like the Avos. I want to try to be like Mama Rachel. I want to try to be like the holy people who were murdered inhumanely in the Holocaust. And he actually brings a comparison that we blow the shofar to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Aforo Shel Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, of course, didn't die on the Akedus Yitzchak, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu views it as if he did die and his ashes are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nebuch, 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 there are real ashes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says the only way we can rely or ask for that Zuchus Avos is if we, in fact, commit to be Mosa Nefesh like they were. Our Mosa Nefesh, Baruch Hashem, is not to die in a concentration camp. But maybe it's to come to shul on time. Maybe it's to give a little more tzedakah. Maybe it's to give up an activity that we know is not so ay-ay-ay. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, in the zchus avos, because we want to act like them. That's his formula for making this year different than previous years. Again, a beautiful introduction that he has. A couple of other very easy and practical ideas that I suggest to you. One of them is based upon the tefillah that people say, Erev Yom Kippur, forgiving everybody who's hurt them. You have an opportunity to say this not only Erev Yom Kippur. People come to shul early, they say it, wonderful. You can say it every night. It's included, to a certain extent, in Kriya Shema Lamita. Call me Shehiknit Vihiknit Osi. Anybody who went and caused me trouble, I forgive them. And the Mefarshim point out, it doesn't even mean you're giving up your monetary rights. The guy stole from me, I forgive him for stealing from me, I can still take him to court and get back my money. But just like we want God to forgive us, so we have to go and forgive other people. And mean it. We really forgive them. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim says is so essential to say every night in Kriya Shema Lamita. anybody that did me damage, I forgive them. And the understanding comes back to the word staka, righteousness. How can I forgive him? He did me an avla. He did me a terrible disservice. He ruined the shidduch for me. He made me lose a job. He cost me an opportunity. He stole my client. How's that righteousness? And the answer is, he did nothing. She did nothing to you. You know why it happened? Because of you. And that person who did you the terrible thing was a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you had a stone fall on you and hurt you, would you yell at the stone? You'd yell at the person that made the building lousy. Well, we're the ones that made the building lousy. The stone fell because we deserve to have the stone fall on us. And that's what he's telling us as well. We have to understand that if somebody did something to me, it's not because they're out to get me. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you deserve this punishment. And that's why when we forgive other people, we're acknowledging that it all comes from Hashem. And then the most important principle in Yiddishkeit, or certainly one of the most important principles, is Mida Kineged Mida. B'derech Sh'molichin Oso, B'derech Sh'atarotza, Lelech Molichin Oso. The way you want to go is the way you're going to go. And Hanelovim, the Einon Ovim, if somebody attacks you and you don't respond kind, in kind, that's the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I know you aren't so good, but since you're nice to other people, I'll be nice to you. That's din. That's the way din works. It's not only rachamim, that's not only chesed. Din works. You know, I gave this example the other night. If a guy is in prison for 20 years and he gets off on good behavior after 10 years, that's not because they were merciful. That's because that's the din. So if we want to change Roah HaGezeira, if we want to remove the terrible Gezeira that sometimes Rahman al-Islam could be there against us, so we also have to change in our way that we treat other people. Ah, that bum. Look what he did to me. Look what she did to me. And therefore, if we change that, then God says, ooh, whoa. How can I do something against him? It's a famous story. Yeshuv and Levi, he went straight into Shemayim. He took the Sutton sword, said, I ain't giving it back. He went straight into Shemayim. And Sutton complained, said, hey, it's not the way it works. And Yeshuv and Levi said, I ain't leaving here. I swear I'm not leaving here. And then I'll give you back your sword, but otherwise, that's it. So Sutton said, hey, that's not the way it works. And Hashem said, let's check him out. If he never lied, if he never broke his promise, then he gets to stay here because he said, I'm not leaving here. If he lied in life, then look, he can lie now again also. The way we conduct ourselves, if we're kind and generous to other people that we don't necessarily want to be kind and generous to, so then you will in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, well, maybe you didn't deserve it, but the din says, I have to be kind to you. And that's when we say every night in the Kriya Shema, that's something, again, doesn't take a lot of money, doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't take a lot of effort. But it's such a beautiful idea. When you say that paragraph, if you don't say it, so say it. Say, I make a commitment, say it till Rosh Hashanah. I'll maybe even continue through the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and then I'll forget it. I don't have to do it anymore. Try it. And that initial paragraph, the Ribono Shel Olam that we say over there, is just beautiful to look at the words and say, I forgive anybody that hurt me. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us for hurting him. Kaveh Yochel. The Daf Yomi finished today. Krisus. We start Mi Yitzhak Shem tomorrow, Mi'ila. The Mishnah Brura Yomi is Be'ezus Hashem finishing up next week, the fourth volume of Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Yomis is coming to the conclusion of Nezikin in the next couple of weeks. What do all these things have in common? The word Yomi. There's Nach Yomi. There's Rambam Yomi. What do they all have in common? Yomi. I said this many, many, many times. The start of doing tshuva for not learning enough. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. That has to be a fundamental part of every person's tshuva. No matter how much you learn. The guy that's learning 18 hours a day, he has to say, why am I not learning 18 hours and 5 minutes a day? Or the quality of my 18 hours a day of learning has to be better. And if you're not learning 18 hours a day, maybe there's one or two people in the room that are not. We have to learn more. Every person has to make an additional commitment during this period of time. That's part of tshuva, to say, I'm going to learn a little bit more. I'll listen when the rabbi's speaking is a start. Although many people say rabbis are like anesthesiologists. Okay, I've heard that joke many, many, many times. Bottom line is, there's easy opportunities. The easiest opportunity, because it doesn't cost you any time or money, is if you're in your car and you're not listening to the Torah tape, change that. You're in your car. You're driving. So instead of listening to, pick your political pundit, WINS, news radio, CBS radio, the Yankees or Mets, put in a Torah tape. I'd say tape. I date myself. Put in a CD. Put in your iPod. Put in whatever, however you listen. But that's found time. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I can't do it. Of course you can. Everybody's in the car some time of the day. Just doing that without changing 1 second of your life, you can't imagine how much learning you can accomplish in your car. I love to say over this story. I've said it over here a couple of times. Rav Bengis Zatzal was one of the Gedolim of the previous generation. He learned Shas, I don't know how many hundreds of times. He didn't make Siyumim every time he finished Shas. One time he made a Siyum when he finished Shas. So he asked him, why you make a Siyum? You know, we just learned in the Gemara, Rav Yossi would complete all of the learning that he learned from Rav Yochanan every 30 days. He didn't say he made a Siyum every 30 days. Rav Bengis completed Shas how many times? Here he made a Siyum. So somebody had the temerity to ask him, how come you're making a Siyum on this Shas? So this Shas completion is special. This Shas I completed when I didn't have time to learn. When I was waiting in the counter at the store, he took out his little Gemara, he learned. I was waiting for the bus to come, took out his Gemara, he learned. Or he probably knew it by heart. He was waiting online for whatever it is. We all wait online. What do you do when you wait online? People exercise, they walk. So unless you're walking with your spouse, that's shalom bayis, that's a wonderful, beautiful thing to do. If you're walking by yourself, you're exercising by yourself, what are you doing? You put in an earpiece and you listen to a Torah tape. Every person can do that. That's what Rav Bengis did. And that's the one he was most proud of, because that was completion of Shas when he didn't have time. Every person in the room, every person who's going to listen to this tape, can ask themselves, I say I have no time, but what do I do with all that time that I don't have time for that I misuse? And all of us do that. We all walk, we all go in the car, we go on a train. So that's a great opportunity. Tzedakah. I haven't talked that much about tzedakah. So that's the easy one. Everybody knows, you write check, you're supposed to give 10%. You're a tzaddik, you give 20%. You're a very, very rich guy. People always like coolers. I love to say the cooler. If you're Bill Gates, you can give more than 20%. The whole reason you can't give a lot of money to tzedakah is because you may become poor. He can give 99% of his money to tzedakah. He'd have more money than all of us combined in this room. So, not a problem. If you're Bill Gates, I give you het teirim coolers all day long. Okay, that's easy. Everybody's supposed to give tzedakah. Make it fun. I've heard some great suggestions, seen different tzaddikim or people, stam people, make some of these suggestions. Get your kids involved in tzedakah. Show your kids your book. You should have a book. How do you know you're giving ma'aser? How do you know that you're really making it? How do you know when to give to which tzedakah? You should have a book or some spreadsheet someplace to know who you're giving tzedakah to and how much. Get your kids involved. Show your kids. Very important. My Rebbeim always said, don't be humble to your kids. Make sure your kids see that you're doing mitzvahs. Well, I remember one time, I heard a famous story. Somebody was, they told his Rebbe, he said, I go to the shir, I fall asleep the instant I'm exhausted. I learn, I work all day, I come in, I go to the shir at night, I fall asleep instantly. He says, wouldn't it be better for me to stay home and learn for a few minutes and then go to sleep? So the Rebbe said, absolutely not. Make sure your kids see that you go to the shir. You fall asleep at the shir, that's onus rachmana patri. But I mean, your kids should know you're going to a shir, because then they will go to a shir. So the most important education we can give our children is this stock idea and get him involved. I know some people do a very, very nice idea. They give money to the children and say, you pick the tzedakah. Young children, older children. It's a beautiful idea. I got to give the tzedakah anyway. Make it into a family affair. Let them pick the tzedakah that they want to give it to. And this way you're bringing in the entire family to giving tzedakah. Make sure that you're giving an appropriate amount of tzedakah during this time of the year. Don't wait till December 31st to get the deduction. It's much more important to give it before Rosh Hashanah, so it can help you to make sure that you're around December 31st to get the deduction. Another Eitzah, practical Eitzah. Pick one tefillah in the regular davening and focus on that. I've suggested in the past, pick a short one. Mizmor L'Soda, a nice short little tefillah. Understand and know that tefillah. The rest of the davening, work on another time. That tefillah is yours. You own it. You understand what the words mean. You say it a little bit slowly. If you prefer, so pick something at the end of davening. You'll say that. Say Aleinu. Say the Yom. Pick something short. Don't say, I'm going to do Psukah de Zimra. I'll know that cold. It's too much. Tefasta merubalo tefasta. If you try to grab too much, you won't be successful. You grab a little bit, you'll be successful. And I'm going to work on this one tefillah. I'll do one pasuk of it. By the end of the Yomim Noraim, I'll say all the six phrases, seven phrases, whatever there are in Mizmor L'Soda, I'll say each week between now and Shmini Atzeres, I'll practice one pasuk of that kapitel. And by the end of Shmini Atzeres, I'll own that one. Pick a tefillah, make it yours. It's a wonderful idea. Alternatively, let's use mincha, because mincha is the eis ratzon. This is a time we're looking for eis ratzon, so mincha is every day an eis ratzon. If you don't go to mincha with a minyan, try to commit between now and Rosh Hashanah, or during the Aseres Beitshuva, I'll try to daven. It's not 4 o'clock mincha yet, you know, the end of this month, it's not the middle of the winter. Still, you can get home from work in time. 6:45 mincha, many people are home already by then. So you normally don't daven with a minyan, make a commitment, I'm going to daven with a minyan. And mincha is the best one to pick. It's the hardest one, Chazal tells us. Shachas, I'm getting up in the morning, before I go to work, I just get up. Marva, come home late at night, there's always a minyan, Baruch Hashem. Mincha says is the hardest one. Make a commitment, I'm going to go to mincha and daven mincha with a tzibur. And heaven forbid if you don't daven mincha every day, make a commitment. I'm going to start davening mincha every day. I know people, they're very good Jews, but they're very busy. And, you know, somehow some of the tefillos slip through the crack. Make a commitment that I'm going to daven. You Baruch Hashem, you go to minyan 3 times a day. You never miss a minyan. You start on time. You stay till the end. What do you do during the davening? Do you talk during the davening? So on Shabbos, I brought down an Imre Menachem. He makes a haftocha, a promise, that if you commit not to talk during the davening, he guarantees you, you'll have a successful year, your children will be healthy, and you'll make good parnasa. Spoke the whole Shabbos drush about that, I won't say it now. But wow, that's an easy, again, most of the commitments, I said, don't say I'm going to learn 30 hours a day. They don't say I'm going to give $500 million to tzedakah. I'm never going to leave the shul. I didn't say any of those things. I said, hopefully things that I can take home myself. I don't claim to do all these things myself, but I can work on something. Everybody in the room has the easy potential to say, maybe for Chazaras Hashatz, I won't talk. Maybe I won't talk during the laning. If you don't talk during any of those, so that's wonderful. Pick another part where you can improve your davening. But that's tefillah. We have to improve our tefillah. Finally, I just conclude. Every one of us has to understand that when we do these things, they're for our benefit. They're not for God's benefit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not changed one iota by us changing. We're not doing this to please God. We're not doing this because God demands me to do this. We're doing this solely for the purpose of improving ourselves and our families. And that's the final thing I want to say about tzedakah. What does it mean? Why is tzedakah so important? Why is tzedaka tatzil mimavis? We end off tshuva tefila u tzedaka rabbi Yisroel gzeira. Because tzedaka represents life. When I give somebody tzedaka, that was an hour, 2 hours, 2 minutes, 5 hours of my life that I just gave to that person. It took me that long to earn that money. I just gave away my life to somebody else. If I didn't give that stalker and I didn't work, I'd have 5 hours of free time to do whatever I wanted. I gave him, her, my life. That's what Ma'aviru Yisroel HaGezeirah. We want a long life. What better way than to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was willing to give up my life to help out somebody else. Mida keneged mida, may you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me additional life, that I should be zocha, and that we all should be zocha, to have a good gibbench diyar, a kesima v'chasima tova. Thank you very, very much for listening.